Welcome back to the Flag Mantle podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Sterling, and the Fremantle Dockers are out of finals. Unfortunately, the slide is complete, and the Fremantle Dockers will end the 2024 campaign ranked 10th amongst 18 teams, which means no September action for our boys. But not to fear, the Flagmantle podcast is here, and I've got a bit of a different episode today. So I have a show every Friday morning with my co-host Livo called The Premiership Quarter on Boom Radio, and we talk all about the footy. We are a football talk show, and this week was heavy on the Fremantle take. So I've included a fair few clips from the Premiership Quarter in this episode. So hopefully you have a bit of a taster into what the Premiership Quarter is, and hopefully you can tune in next week. But most of it is Fremantle relevant, and I will be jumping in every now and then to just add a few comments from myself. So hopefully you all enjoy this a bit of a different episode of the Flagmantle podcast. Let's just get into things, shall we? Yeah, let's do it. Yes, welcome back to the Premiership Quarter. You are here with Stu and Livo on your Friday morning. We are talking all things Fremantle. The Fremantle Dockers got eliminated yesterday, Livo. Or not yesterday, over the weekend.
Yesterday? No, I don't think it was yesterday.
It was definitely not yesterday, but maybe my love for the club died yesterday.
But maybe. No, but you did get Luke Ryan in the All-Australian team, so you can be a little bit happy.
We did, and we will talk about that. But the Fremantle Dockers went down 9-13-67 to 13-9-87 against the Port Adelaide Power. And I'll tell you what, it was a very emotional, a very emotional day for us. We watched the end of the Carlton and St Kilda game.
Only Freo.
We got so hyped over Jack Higgins kicking that goal.
And, only Freo.
Gave us hope. Gave us something to play for against Port Adelaide. And as soon as that second half hit, it was lights out for the Fremantle season this year. Andy Brayshaw was our best on the weekend, amassing 33 disposals. Only 10 of them kicks from Andy. We know our midfield like to move it through hands. But it is becoming a bit of a trend. Luke Ryan and Caleb Sarong are all Australians as well. They both played a part in the game. Luke Ryan, 21 touches. Caleb Sarong, 19 touches and 3 behinds. You wouldn't have been too happy with Sarong's goal-kicking, would you, Livo?
No, I'm not going to go into full depths about that, but Sarong, you've made yourself an enemy. I'm joking.
Jeez. You've been on his back ever since he kicked goal of the year against your mob.
I mean, yeah, you and I were talking off-air and saying that I'm still sore about an out-of-bounds goal of the year.
It was not out-of-bounds.
It was, but I'm going to
It was definitely not out-of-bounds.
That. But there are good signs from Freo this season. Which you have to admit, unfortunately, the ending of the season has thoroughly impacted, like the a Dockers fan's point of view on the season. Because once you go from like, hey, we're top four, we got all these young guys really playing well, all of that sort of stuff, Sarong for Brownlow, all of that sort of stuff, and then you go choke four games in a row. It was four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it dampens the season a fair bit. And one player that I would like to mention that's had a really good year for you guys, great pickup, probably one of the best pickups of the season, Jeremy Sharp.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, some of his ball use has been a little bit questionable at times, but I just think him getting the touches and playing that valuable wing side, I think it is a very valuable position for him to have. It's almost like what Will Brody was in his first season is the sort of player that I'm envisioning Jeremy Sharp as.
Yeah, he's been good for us on the wing. He's filled a filled a role definitely when Nathan O'Driscoll has been recovering from his injuries and hasn't been able to play. And obviously we've lost quite a few wingers in our time. Brad Hill, yep. Ed Langdon, Lockie Weller, Blake Akers. Like we've lost a bunch of wing depth. So having Sharp step up has been really, really pivotal for the Dockers this year.
Are you at all concerned of a miss this year?
No. So he's kicked 9 less goals this year than he did last year. Yep. However, he's had 2 more shots on goal whilst being the second option to Josh Tracy. Last year, he was the number one guy. He was number one banana. This year, it has been Josh Tracy, and Amos has had to adjust to a bit more of a complimentary role. And unfortunately, he hasn't been as accurate in front of the sticks. He's at, I think, 53% goal accuracy this year. Last year, he was closer to 70. So a bit of a drop-off for Amos in terms of goal accuracy. But outside of that,
I think he's thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
It's almost like what I think is what Jesse Hogan said at one point. He wanted to kick through it and make sure it goes through instead of like having to think about, hey, I need to do all of this, all of that, sort of that stuff. It might be Jeremy Cameron. But I'm mixing it up with.
Yeah, well, he's had a few different set shot routines this year, which probably for his continuity hasn't been great. But he's had weeks where he's just been on, where he's unloading set shots from beyond 50 and they are sailing through. And he's had weeks where he's having set shots from a slight angle, 25 out, and he's absolutely shanking them. So,
whoever player does that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a free man with Docker. What do you expect? So. Yeah, it's been a rocky end to the year for the Fremantle Dockers, but I think the final stretch, those final 4 games home, they tell the story, I think. We are a very good football team, but our ability to match it with the best when the pressure comes, I think that's when our game plan starts to crumble a little bit. That's when we start to lose our shape and our method. So hopefully this off season we do a lot more scenario planning. We do a lot more playing under pressure because that's the difference between us playing finals and not this year. And we should really be looking at a top 4 finish next year. If we're not, then we are so far away from expectations that it's really not funny, because this team is stacked with talent, and that seems to be the narrative
going
forward.
So much youth is the issue. Is a big impact from probably why Fremantle had a bit of an issue closing out this season, is the fact that they're so young. And a player that I'm really, really, a docker that I really rate from you guys is Brandon Walker. I feel like he's had a really good season, and he plays well off players, and he's pretty fast as well. So he can burst away from an opposing forward or something like that. And I feel like he's almost another Jordan Clark if he can get his ball use a little bit better.
Yeah, no, Brandon Walker's definitely been one to watch this year. His growth has been absolutely fantastic. From my point of view, he's sort of had to decide between the lockdown defender and the runoff defender. And coming into his draft year, his biggest challenge was being able to defend because he was just all out attack from halfback. And I think he struck quite a nice balance. He's locked up some small forwards over the course of the year, and he also provides a fair bit of run and carry off halfback. So Brandon Walker is definitely one that I think is going to be a lock to start round 1 2025. And if he can get his game going, we're a much better side with him performing.
And let's not forget that you guys have also had a lot of injuries this season, and that definitely impacted the chance of making the top 8 this season. But unfortunately, in typical Fremantle Docker fashion, you had everything go right for you. You had Ross the Boss take the win against Carlton, and you still couldn't do it.
Yeah, very, very upset at that. The 3 injuries at the end of the season, Tracy, Pierce, and Darcy for the last 3 games, I think that was monumental as we played top 4 sides in our last 3 games. So what a way to end the season for the Fremantle Dockers.
Hey, man, it could be worse.
We're going to be talking about the team that it's probably worse for, the West Coast Eagles. So stay tuned for that here on the Premiership Quarter. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. Your
Oh,
Yes, welcome back. I'm so Stuart Sterling, your host here on Flag Mantle Podcast. Now, you heard a little bit about me and Livo rambling about the Dockers. This next segment we do every single week. We take over one of the AFL teams and we do a little mock off-season for them. And so we really enjoy this. We like to plan out every team's off-season. And then, of course, we make a post on social media with the projections and what the trades will look like and all that. So tune in to this section very, very kindly, please. That wasn't the word I was looking for, but it's the word I'll take. So please tune into this with a bit of an open mind, as this is content for our premiership quarter. But it is very, very Fremantle-centric, and it does give you a bit of an insight into what this off-season could look like for the Dockers. However, we didn't include Keziah Pickett, because at the time of planning this show, Keziah Pickett had requested a trade, or not request a trade, but was looking to request a trade. And we were still deliberating if it was going to be South Australia or Western Australia. And when the reports came out that it was Western Australia, it looked like West Coast were ahead. So, obviously we did not know that the interest from Fremantle would be so strong in Cozzy Pickett. So with that in mind, here is the Booms GM takeover of the Fremantle Dockers.
Once we got our first deal done, it sort of flowed in the second and the third.
Look, it's something that came up reasonably late in the trade period for us.
We're really happy that we've been able to bring four quality players in, so it's been a really successful period for the club.
Welcome back to the Premiership Quarter, and we are here for our favourite segment of the show. It is Boom's GM Takeover, and this week we thought it would be very, very topical to take over the Fremantle Football Club. Their season ended last weekend, and it has brought a lot of questions about where this list is at. We are still very, very young as a football club. Sorry, I'm going to refer to Fremantle as we or us.
Okay.
Or I'm a member.
You can say that. I can't.
I'm a member, so you know this is part of my. I am part of the club, so we're going to say
that's
we. We're going to say us. So yeah, I hate when people criticize people for saying, "Oh, it's not we, it's not
us."
Are
you part of the club?
I'm a member. So I am part of the club, so I'm going to say we. The Fremantle Dockers, we ended the season on four different losses, and it came off the back of plenty of injury to Alex Pearce, Sean Darcy, and Josh Tracy. So I think the major point heading into 2025 is going to be health, and it's keeping the core, the spine all intact. Mm-hmm. And we have had a few injuries to Coxie along the way as well. So just trying to keep everyone fit and firing is the main outcome for 2025. But before we hit 25, we need to go through an off season. We need to call some players. We need to do some things with the list. So let's start with who we are delisting now. Look, I took some liberties with this, and I've delisted a few of the players that...
You took some swings.
Yeah, I took some swings, and I think a lot of these are going to be true. So let's start with probably the...
Fan favorite,
Matthew Tabiner. he is being delisted out of contract this year, not required at the football club anymore. He has gone below some of the other boys. He is probably below Sebit Kwek now in the pecking order now that he's coming back, and he's definitely below Voss, and Voss is already our second stringer. So, Matt Tabiner will not be playing another game for the Fremantle Dockers. Thank goodness, say Fremantle fans across the country. Ethan Hughes is the next one.
Another one fan favorite.
He did have a big game at Waffle Level over the weekend, but hopefully that is where he continues to play and not in the Fremantle side. Out of contract this year, will probably not be getting another game, as Wagner, Chapman, Walker, all these guys are now ahead of
him.
Carl Warner now is ahead of Ethan Hughes. And then Josh Corbett.
A fan favorite at TAFE.
Yeah, at TAFE, for a different reason. Josh Corbett is probably one of the nicest people you'll meet. Does all the community work at Fremantle. Is just all around a good guy. I'd love to keep him around the club if we can. I know he's probably not talented enough to be on her playing list. But Bob Murphy did leave as a bit of a development, bit of an assistant guy, skills guy. So hopefully Josh Corbett could fill that role potentially, or we'll see how that one plays out. But I would like to keep him around the club. Mm. And then the next two, Ethan Stanley and Conrad Williams, just, yeah, haven't really...
Just list guys, yeah.
Yeah, just fill in the back end of the list at this point. So... Mm. They are going to make way as well. There were a couple I had to make decisions on. Max Noble is one that I did want to re-sign just for another mm-hmm. year as a bit of a developmental ruck. He's been bouncing between the Peel Reserves and the Peel League team, but that's due to Liam Reedy and mm-hmm. his form. So, yeah, just one to watch on Max Noble. Nathan O'Driscoll is out of contract as well, so hopefully we can tie him up for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Sam Sturt and Bailey Banfield were out of contract as well, but they are being given...
They already
two-year
resigned, didn't
deals
they?
Each. Sam Sturt has re-signed. Bailey Banfield is expected to follow suit, mm-hmm. Both with the same length of deal there. I'd assume Sam Sturt's probably going to be on a little bit more coin than Bailey Banfield at this stage. But,
yep.
Yeah, so both of them re-signing is huge for our depth. But let's get into the trade mm-hmm. period, shall we? The most fun part of this.
Yeah.
We've got two players requesting out. Now... Mm-hmm. Nothing official has been talked about Sam Switkowski to this mm-hmm. point. However, there have been whispers of him potentially wanting a move back to Victoria for family reasons. Mm-hmm. So the Fremantle Dockers are allowing him to do so. We are sending him to the Essendon Bombers in this trade. And mm-hmm. Let's just have a little look on what the trade is, Livo. Can you run me through what we send?
So basically we went through a club list at the moment and we saw... Okay, so who needs a pressure forward who's really good at that role? And we went Essendon need a guy who can kick a couple goals and put on a lot of pressure. Judging that Jake Stringer might be finding a new club at the end of the season. So we've sent him to the Bombers, and then the Bombers have given Fremantle back pick 28 and a future fourth, which I feel like pick 28 will probably end up in the 30s
yeah.
with compensation and all of that sort of stuff, and a future fourth is just something extra on top of a pretty good player in Sam Switkowski.
Yeah, Champion Data loves Sam Switkowski. He's he's our little Brent Daniels type operator. That's yep. the type of role he plays. He protects the corridor. He puts on pressure, and he's a link up player. He doesn't really kick that many goals, Sam Switkowski, but
yeah.
He's part of a lot of scoring chains. And when he's playing his best footy, when he's on, Fremantle are a completely different team. So it'd be really sad to lose because he's actually really, really important. Important for our structure, but if he does want to go home, it's not going to be the end of the world, considering what could be coming back to Fremantle this trade period.
Yep.
Another one that we are probably going to be losing is Will Brody. We've sent him to the Adelaide Crows, who are probably in need of
an extra midfielder.
Yeah. And instead of being the 7th or 8th midfielder at Fremantle, he could head on over to the Crows to be the 4th or 5th guy there. Mm. So a bit more opportunity for Will Brody. And look, we've refused to play him for the past 2 years. He's going to net us a future 4th round pick. So, yeah.
Even though he's been dominating in a waffle.
He has been, but just our reluctance to play him means his value is at an all-time low. So he will be departing the football club. We had some talks about Neil Erasmus, but we thought we'd just hold him to his contract until the end of it, because potentially Nat Fyfe will be playing less midfield time next year, and hopefully Neil Erasmus can grab some opportunities.
I've had a strange thought, and this has come from inspiration from my father, who said that he thinks Fyfe should be in the back line.
Yes.
Because of how great of a mark he is.
Mm-hmm.
Shame he's a shocking kick.
Yes.
But he can get his hands on the ball in the defensive line, and he can take a great mark. It's just getting it outside of the back. Maybe he's just going to have like a running mate next to him. He goes like, all right, I'm just going to handball this off straight to you.
Yep. No, I fully agree. It's actually something I've spoken about with some of my Frio mates.
Mm.
The potential of Nat Fyfe turning into a bit of a third tall defender, an intercepting, spoiling type that just has the game in front of him. I think he's gotten to a point where the game's a little bit too fast for him. We saw him trying to keep up with Jason Horne-Francis on the weekend, and Just you blink your eyes and he's gone, and Nat Fyfe isn't able to keep up with a guy like that.
No, so he has lost a little bit of that foot speed.
He definitely has. Well, whether he even had it to begin with is a different question, but I think the game has just shifted away from that type of midfielder.
And I think it's just the big impact on why Fyfe isn't the player he is anymore is just because he just can't kick, and you need to be able to kick.
And he can't handball either. It was a bit of a problem on the weekend. But anyways, he's going to be on the list moving forward. Let's head on over to free agency. The Carlton Blues will be losing Jack Martin this offseason. They've replaced him with Elijah Hollins from the Gold Coast Suns, and don't ask what's in his bags, but Jack Martin, he is a quality footballer when he can play, when he's not injured. Fremantle do have some of the best injury staff in the competition with Phil Merriman down there. He is an absolute jet. But Jack Martin, we could get him for absolute chips. So we would
for free. Yeah, basically.
Exactly. Well,
for free.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to trade for him. He's an unrestricted free agent and he can just walk. He's a WA boy.
And he's good if he's healthy.
He is very good when he's healthy. And Fremantle did have some interest in him all those years back when he was considering a move out from the Gold Coast. And eventually he did pick the Carlton Blues. But it's time to come home, Jack Martin. It's time to come replace Bailey Banfield. And I think he'd be a fantastic player at the Dockers. He's sort of your high half forward link man at
if
this
West
stage.
If West Coast weren't in the midst of a rebuild, I'd really want a Jack Martin on our team. He just, he does everything you really need on a player. And let's not forget that he was like a top five pick as well. Like very highly touted.
I think he was pick two or pick one.
He was so good, Jack Martin.
He was an elite junior and he has all the talent in the world. But we've got to move on to the trades. We did our prep for this yesterday and it was before all of the Cozzy Pickett stuff. We sort of had him tipped to go to the Eagles. And then after we'd planned for the segment, he was like, oh, nah, you know what? If I were to request a trade, it would be Fremantle, which is a very strange thing to say as a player who has not requested a trade yet. So
He's not requested a trade, but requested a trade is the way that I take it.
I'm not sure what that means. I'm thinking if that's coming out, it's probably meaning he will be requesting a trade. His family member actually went in a Facebook comment section who is related to both Shea Bolton and Cozzy Pickett. And she said, oh, yeah, I think Shea Bolton's a lock, and I'm hoping Cozzy follows suit. So prayers up for Cozzy Pickett. I hope he comes to Fremantle very, very soon. Mm-hmm. But let's get into the trades without Cozzy. The first one is the obvious. Shea Bolton from the Richmond Tigers. They're going to want a lot. And we have settled on pick 10 and pick 17. Now, I think Fremantle will look to make this pick 10 and pick 27, the second round pick from St Kilda. But whether that gets the job done, Shea Bolton is still contracted. For a few more years. They'll try the Dockers.
You're the king of wishful thinking if that you think that's going to be.
I'm not saying it's going to get the job done, but I'm saying that that's what Fremantle are going to be bringing to the table day one in trade period. So whether that ends up being the trade or not is a different question, but we've done 10 and 17 to be safe for Shea Bolton. Then we do the Switter trade. We move him out for 28 and a future four, as we've already discussed. And then we go on over to the Bulldogs. It seems to be a weird time to be a Bulldogs fringe player at this stage. We pinned Caleb Daniel as one to be moved last week, and this week we've gotten
They just need more picks, realistically. Our Bulldogs.
They do. They have got a bit of a short draft hand this year, but we have given up a future second for Riley Garcia. He is out of contract, but he is still under team control at the Western Bulldogs, which would mean a trade would have to take place in order for him to jump ship. And future twos probably slightly overs at this stage, but Riley Garcia has been playing fantastic in
and
the
based
twos.
Based on the progression that you would assume for the Dockers as well, will probably end up in the 30s next year. So I think it is a good trade for the Dockers for that one. Young guy as well.
Absolutely agree. And that leaves us with pick 9, 27, and 28, and 63 as well. With pick 9, we pick the highest rated WA talent we can get our hands on. The outside mid/defender. He's tall, he's big, he's athletic. Bo Allen, he is the son of our inaugural captain as well. So that would be a fantastic pick there. Then I've gone with a bit of midfield talent. We do need one more inside midfielder. And I've gone with Xavier Lindsay. He's just done his ACL, I believe, or his PCL. He's done his knee, and he is projected to be a top 20 pick, but I do have him sliding because of his injury. And then we have got Oliver as well, who is a running halfback, flanker, adding a bit more pace into the team, maybe someone to take over Wagner when he eventually retires in a couple of years. So just a bit of a variety for the draft for Fremantle this year, getting inside, outside, just getting a bit of a different look. And obviously we're not accounting for Cozzy Pickett yet because, well, technically Fremantle do have to make a first round selection in the draft this year due to the draft rules.
True. That so, might be a bit of a spanner in the works of trying to get that deal done.
It will be a spanner in the works. So hopefully Fremantle can figure some stuff out and see what we can do regarding Cozzy and Shea. Hopefully we don't have to give up too much to get all of them through the door, and hopefully we do end up with a draft pick. But if you want to see what the projected 23 looks like, head on over to our Instagram at BoomRadioAU. There you're going to see the full team, the ins and outs, and also a bit of information on the Fremantle Docker. So head on over to our socials at BoomRadioAU. Have a look at what we think the Fremantle Dockers will look like in 2025. So, Livo, what do you give our off-season?
I think that you could be a top four contender if that off-season does happen.
So Fremantle, everything to look forward to this off-season. Stay tuned on Boom Radio. We've got a massive final hour coming up very, very shortly. Welcome back to the Fremantle Podcast. I'm still Stuart Sterling, your host here. Hopefully you enjoyed that GM takeover. Hopefully it was kind of useful to you to just sort of understand what this offseason could look like for the Fremantle Dockers. Now, obviously things are going to be shaken up with Cozzy Pickett being part of the deal. And this next part of the Premiership quarter is all about trades. There's a few Fremantle mentions in there, but it's a bit more broad. So I'm going to take the time now to talk a bit about Fremantle. So we all know what's happening with Shea Bolton at the moment over at Richmond. Fremantle, though, news has been coming out about Keziah Pickett. Now, Ryan Daniels tweeted this about 15 hours ago. Cozzy Pickett's reps reached out to at Fremantle Dockers earlier this week to gauge interest. Fremantle are keen, but no guarantee was given, with a deal difficult to complete. Shea Bolton seen as the priority, but a Pickett-Bolton combo not impossible. Freo have three first-round picks. The West Coast Eagles are an option for Pickett if things get complicated, as is remaining at Melbourne. But at this stage, his preference is with Fremantle. And here's another, here's it worded a bit nicer, I think, by the Quarterly. Keziah Pickett's management has reached out to Fremantle to gauge their interest in the live wire forward. Fremantle has indicated they would be very keen on securing Pickett, but we need to do some further planning given Shea Bolton has also chosen Fremantle as a preferred destination. The Dockers currently hold picks 9, 10, and 17. So, yeah, plenty to play out this trade period, and it makes me wonder, does Sam Switkowski possibly get moved for a pick? Does Neil Erasmus possibly get moved for a pick? Does Will Brody possibly get moved for a pick? And if all three have to go to bring in Bolton and Pickett, I think it's absolutely necessary. I think we've been lacking star power inside our forward 50 for a very long time, and obviously we've seen the emergence of Josh Tracy and Jai Amos over the last 2 years consecutively, but I think we still need a small forward. I think we would be a much better team with a Tom Papley type running around, and with the opportunity to get Bolton and Pickett through the door, then we get two of them. We can turn what is our weakness into our biggest strength. This is what our forward line would look like next year if we were able to get both players into the club. Okay, so our tall forwards are going to stay the same. It's going to be Jackson, Amos, and Tracy. Whilst our small forwards, get this, Shea Bolton, Keziah Pickett, Sam Sturt, Michael Frederick, and probably at this stage, probably Banfield. You'll probably just take a pick of Banfield, Walters, Emmett, of that next group. But let me count that up. That's seven. So you don't need to. So you got the three talls, the four smalls, and that just perfectly. Bolton and Pickett can both play midfield, so that would give Sarong, Brayshaw, and Young a chop out. Young, who fractured his tib the other day, so against Port Adelaide in the third quarter, so that's why he was limping, if you did not know already. But yeah, I'm really, really excited for this trade period. It looks like everything is going in Fremantle's favor so far. So no one's requested a trade out, but I expect that to change. I think one of Erasmus or Brody will go, and I think the rumors about Switkowski are probably true, that he probably wants to head on home. So yeah, plenty to take into account for Fremantle this trade period, but with three first round picks, anything is possible, and another pick in the future as well. However, Fremantle, well, what a lot of people are overlooking in the Shea Bolton Kasai Pickett thing is Fremantle have to take a first round pick this year. We have to, like, it is mandatory. So whether or not we trade pick 17 for 20 and a pick in the 30s from the Swans to get more draft capital to make these deals work, just so we at least have one first round pick to take, because we have not drafted in the first round over the past 2 years, and pardon me, and you need to take two first round picks every 4 years. So the Jackson trade and, of course, last year's trades not helping us in that department at all. But I think we're fine. I think if there's a team that can get these deals done, it is Fremantle at the moment. With the assets we have and the list managers we have, I think we can absolutely get the deal done. But with Pickett and Bolton coming in, it does mean that we're going to have to make way for some other players. So Banfield, I know you're due a contract extension, but just be careful. Switkowski could be on the outer. And of course, we've been interested in Jack Martin as well. Does that all go away if we get both Pickett and Bolton? Well, we don't know. But this next segment is the Booms Premiership Quarter. It's called Read the Room, and you'll hear the hotkey for it, and it's quite nice, and I made it, and I like it a lot. So hopefully you enjoy that. It does have some Freo stuff in it, but it is just general news. We talk about Petrarca as well, so, and Livo's an Eagles fan, so you'll hear a bit about Barras and Baker and a few other names in there as well. So hopefully you enjoy that as well, and I'll see you on the other side.
Through the door.
Speaking of Liam Baker, he has officially requested a trade to the West Coast Eagles. His value is probably a little bit less than Tom Barras. Pick 12 is currently being floated as an idea for Liam Baker. What do you think he's worth, and what do you think you'll pay in the end?
Well, realistically, it's going to be pick 12 that we give up. It all depends on what West Coast want to do. If they want to jump in on the Cozzy Pickett sweepstakes, even though he's specifically said that he would like to go to Fremantle as his preferred club, it doesn't mean that he wouldn't be willing to go to the Eagles.
No.
In that case, I would be using pick 12 to try and get Pickett, and then trying to split pick 3 to try and get maybe the 15 to 16 range pick, and then give that to Richmond for Baker, and then you can still keep a top 10 pick because you never know what else is going to happen. I think that that's what I would do if I was the Eagles GM, but it also makes it, I'm also not the GM for a reason.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to trust the front office in this respect. They haven't really burnt me too many times, but, you know, it will be sad to see Tom Brasco.
Speaking of a front office that have burnt their fans in recent memory, the Fremantle Dockers, they are due to get Shea Bolton through the door. He has officially requested a trade to Fremantle. Now, this sort of got messy. It sort of got complicated as soon as the rumors over Cozzy Pickett have come out.
Yeah.
Because where do you spend your money? Where do you put your assets?
Do you have enough room to get both? Do you have enough assets to get both?
I think financially we can get both.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of assets, we do have three first-round picks.
But does two that of get those probably have to go into Bolton.
Yeah, but I think Pickett's worth more is the problem. I think Pickett is more valuable player than Shea Bolton, especially at this sort of point in time. Richmond are going to end up with a bunch of picks inside 30 anyway. The Melbourne Demons, if they are to lose Cozzy Pickett, they are stuffed. Like, that probably means Petrarca's out the door, probably means Oliver's...
They're going back into 2014 Melbourne Demons rebuild time.
Yeah, the tankathon.
Attack for Cruiser.
Matthew Cruiser, 2008 number one overall pick, Carlton Blues. Well done. But I think this gets really hard on Fremantle, depending on what Cozzy Pickett requests, because Fremantle, as we all know, they have to take one first round pick in this year's draft because of the way the rules work. And the last time we took a first round pick, I think, was 3 years ago now. So we have to take one.
And that would have been Erasmus, wouldn't it?
It would have been...
Or Amos.
Yeah, it would have been Amos and Erasmus. So I'm not sure how the rule works. If because we took two there, we're sort of exempt from it.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. We traded some picks out to get Luke Jackson, and last year we traded our first round pick to get another one in this year. So, yeah, it's a bit of a strange situation here, Livo. I'm not sure what to make of it. Of course, I would love Cozzy and Shea Bolton
Cozzy's
in our forward
so good
line
as well.
I know. Can you imagine Cozzy and Shea Bolton in the same team at the feet of Tracy and Amos? And
derbies will not be fun.
No, they will be a shellacking. But you know what? I'm excited as a Fremantle fan. Mm. I'd love to get them both across the line, but I think the most likely one at this point in time is Shea Bolton. Mm-hmm. We talked about Jack Martin earlier, but that's a bit more of a free agency pick. Mm-hmm. Now let's get into something that the AFL world has been spewing over the past couple of weeks now.
It's the most interesting player movement in probably about 5 or so years.
Yeah, I can't remember a player that has drummed up this much storm.
It might be a bit like Judd from...
Yeah, but even then, I don't think that Judd had this much, like...
Buzz about it.
I think Judd was very professional.
I think they knew.
Yeah, they all knew. This one has been a series of events that
it's just been building up.
It's been trauma for Christian Petrarca, and he went on the Howie Games podcast, which is edited by our boy Marcel, actually. So
shout out
the Howie Games podcast and Marcel. But Christian Petrarca went on the Howie Games podcast, and he spoke about what has been happening behind closed doors at Melbourne, and he went through.
It might
almost
cop a bit of a fine there.
I don't think so. Okay. I think he detailed his experience going through a life-threatening injury, and apparently he was all drugged up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the hospital told him to call his partner Bella to come and see him because it could be the last time that anyone's ever allowed to see him. And that was the extent of the injury. He almost died. And then for no Melbourne officials, no teammates, no coaches, nothing to contact him for 2 weeks and give him all that space. I think that was a massive mistake on Melbourne's part. And ever since then, his family has clearly not been happy with the club. Clearly not been happy with the club, how they've treated him, the direction of the club, the culture. We've seen what's happened off the field at Melbourne with Clayton Oliver's last off-season, Simon Goodwin, what he's been going through since the trip to Perth, and of course Joel Smith. So it's a bit of a mess over at Melbourne.
There is so much going on at the Melbourne Football Club.
If you're the Melbourne Football Club, do you trade Christian Petrarca?
I think you almost have to. The amount of assets you would get for Christian Petrarca is too much to pass on if a guy like Cozzy Pickett is requesting a trade, if all of these guys are looking to jump off the ship. I think you almost have to. I mean, one that I've seen, but we saw rumored a while ago, was Dan Houston to be potentially going to the
Melbourne Demons. Yeah,
there's actually a rumor that he might go to St Kilda now.
Yeah, well, St Kilda have the draft picks and
the
cash.
They've got so much cash.
Yeah, and Melbourne have just absolutely disintegrated over the last few weeks. So I wouldn't be surprised if that does change the Dan Houston decision. And, of course, St Kilda's recent form has been really, really nice. But I've got a bit of a mock trade for Christian Petrarca, and you might want to scoop your eyes out after you hear it. But he has been long linked to the Collingwood Football Club, and it makes you wonder how they're possibly going to get this trade done. They traded their first round pick in for Schultz.
They don't have anything, man.
They don't have anything. But I scrounged their list, and I think I've come up with something, okay? So the Collingwood Football Club are going to be losing John Noble and Joe Richards in this trade period.
Yep.
They're probably going to be getting second and third round picks for both of them. So include those picks in this deal. Then they're going to give up their future first round pick. I mean, you just have to if you're mm-hmm. Collingwood. If you want a guy like Petrarca, you're going to have to. So they're giving up their picks this year, future first-round pick, and this is where it gets interesting. Mm-hmm. They're giving up Ed Allen.
Yep.
They're giving up Reef McInnes. They're giving up Finlay McRae, and they're giving up Harvey Harrison.
They're not even that big names, though.
Big names, but Reef McInnes, Ed Allen, and Finlay McRae were all first-round picks within the last 3 years, and Harvey Harrison is a promising young prospect. So if the Melbourne Demons cannot get draft capital for Christian Petrarca...
Draft capital, though.
Yeah, but this is their next best option, is what I'm saying.
I think it would almost have to be a three-team trade, and you'd have to involve like a team that has all their first-round picks on their hands at the moment. They can get some of those young pieces, like, you know, if West Coast Eagles or a Fremantle Dockers would happily take Ed Allen. He's West Australian, isn't he?
Ed Allen, yes. Yeah. Yes, he is.
So they would happily jump involved in that trade. They can give up, I don't know, future second or something like that, whatever, to join in the sweepstakes. So then Melbourne can get that draft capital that they would be craving for getting rid of a mega superstar.
If they want to honour Christian Petrarca's wish of heading to a big Victorian club, they're going to have to get very, very creative, because none of the big Victorian clubs are either in the market for Petrarca or have the assets for Petrarca.
Yeah.
So I think it could come to a point where they go, well, you want to trade, but we can't quite honour the type of team you want to go to. We're trading you to St Kilda. We're trading you to Geelong. We're trading you to somewhere else that you might not want to go to, but if you're not going to be a Melbourne player, we don't really care where you go. Mm. And just because of who Petrarca is, I think that's a real possibility that the Demons offload him to another team that potentially has more assets, potentially has an easier route for him to become part of a different club, but are probably not the type of club that Petrarca wants to go to. Mm-hmm. So it's a real sticky situation, because I just can't see Petrarca coming back to Melbourne after this.
Yeah, I mean, if you're close to being dead,
yeah,
I think that it's time to part ways.
Yeah, he's been seeing a trauma therapist to get him through all this. So it's been a really, really tough time for the Petrarca family. But at the center of it, as a fan, we love all the trade stuff. So we're going to be talking about the Brownlow and our own awards very, very shortly. So make sure to stay tuned. Here on the Premiership Quarter, you're going to get to listen to Sam very, very soon.
So hopefully you enjoyed that different type of episode. I'm not going to do that for much longer. Today was just a Fremantle-focused show on the Premiership Quarter. So I decided to use all that stuff for this podcast. So hopefully you all enjoyed. Hopefully if that's kind of your thing, don't be afraid to go and listen to that every Friday morning on the TuneIn app. Search up Boom Radio, 7 till 10 o'clock every Friday morning. The Premiership Quarter is me and Livo. We talk everything about the AFL, so you do not want to miss it. And I do have a Tuesday show, not about the AFL, just a general radio show with Beck. Right now, Beck has just raised $1,000 for the Leukemia Foundation and is about to shave her head as part of the World's Greatest Shave. We do Pet of the Week every single week. We're getting involved with some of the shelters there. We've got plenty of stuff. We've got Chronically Online, which I love to do. It's a bit of a quiz. So if any of that interests you, Tuesday morning on the same application, type up Boom Radio, Tuesday 7 to 10. Get your day started right. Get it started well. Anything else from me for the Flag Mantle podcast today? I think next week I'll do a full season review. I'll review all the players. I'll go through it all. I've made a depth chart of everyone, so hopefully that can be used for next week. But until then, it is goodbye from me on the Flag Mantle podcast. My outro is not playing for whatever reason, so I will just use the intro here. It's a goodbye for me this week, but I'll be back on next week. Make sure to head on over to my socials at Flag Mantle Podcast, at Boom Radio AU. Follow them both. Interact with everything. Give me a 5 stars on Spotify. Please, please, please. I'm trying to take over the recent podcast. We're on the same number of shares. So head on over there and give me a thumbs up. A 5 star would be amazing. And until next week, thank you very much for listening and goodbye.